Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Atlanta, Georgia, it's time for Atlanta Business Radio, spotlighting the city's best businesses and the people who lead them.
Hello, everybody, and welcome once again to a special edition of Atlanta Business Radio, Atlanta's most trusted advisors. I'm Ryan McPherson. Thank you so much for joining us today. Seated alongside me is my co-host today, Bonnie Buell-Russick. How you doing, Bonnie?
I'm doing well. Thanks.
Yeah, episode two of Atlanta's Most Trusted Advisors. Here we are.
Wow, we weren't fired after the first one.
No,
it's pretty awesome.
No, we got a great response from everyone, and we're looking forward to many more of these broadcasts. Before we get started, I'd like to remind our listeners to connect with us on social media, Twitter, at Business Radio X, and today we're using the hashtag Atlanta Business Radio. Also follow me at Ryan Redhawk, and make sure you check out our Facebook page as well. We'll post some pictures of all of our in-studio guests here today. And Bonnie, any social media handles for you?
Oh, yeah. You can find us pretty much everywhere under the handle BBR Marketing.
BBR Marketing.
That's
all
it.
All right. And we got two great guests in here to the studio today. Looking forward to some hot conversation. Who are our guests here?
Well, today we are joined by Donna Grendel of Cardin Compliance. And I'm going to read her bio here real quick. After 30 years in IT, meaning she started at the age of 8, Donna has seen a lot of changes. As a self-professed techno nerd, she has been thrilled to test out new technology as it has come along. Donna started in healthcare IT as a programmer in 1987. When the company was acquired in 97, Donna was vice president of operations of Millard Wayne, Inc. In 99, she formed the technology consulting group, Cardin Group, with her now wife and business partner, Carla Reitner. Today, doing business as Cardin Compliance, they help companies manage their HIPAA compliance programs. And joining Donna is one of her clients, Sean Joyce, who's been building cloud-based software for almost 15 years. While graduating, while graduating into the dot-com bust led him to healthcare. The only companies hiring software engineers in Detroit at the time were healthcare firms. Sean found his passion and subsequently pursued roles that dramatically improved the experience of healthcare users. So currently, he is the director of engineering at Patient Co., one of Inc. magazine's fastest-growing private companies in Atlanta. They were founded on the idea that patient payment shouldn't be so complicated. So we have a consultant in the HIPAA industry and then also someone that is also in the healthcare industry, but not as a payroll
patient payments.
Right. So some subject matter experts who are going to be able to dissect that for us here today as we begin to understand why is HIPAA important to you and I. And so I guess we'll start with Donna. Tell us, why is HIPAA so important?
Well, it's important to us as individuals because we need our healthcare information. It should be private. We always talk about, do you really want your nosy neighbors knowing everything about you? And no, you want people to be able to, commit to not sharing it. And then, of course, always the bad guys and the breaches that we hear about and identity theft. So it's important to us as individuals for that. And then our businesses, if we don't follow rules and have plans to protect that information, then your reputation is somewhat damaged. You can ask Blue Cross Blue Shield and Sony and a whole
litany.
Target. Home Depot. There, it's a long list of people who've had these data breaches, and 2015 was the year of the breach. So that's why it's so important.
Yeah, very true. And protecting your privacy about your health so corporations, individuals, or bad guys cannot get to them. But there's so many layers to that. I mean, there's so much of us, our information online these days. How can we be trusted that it is protected?
Well, you can't.
Okay.
We as people tend to overshare these days. So that's part of the problem is we overshare information. So even healthcare workers think that it's okay to share information about what happened today at work sometimes, and they end up fired usually. But
is it a HIPAA violation if I go to the hospital to have a knee surgery and I start doing selfies while I'm in the hospital bed there? Is that violation of HIPAA?
You can't violate HIPAA.
As a person?
That's your choice.
Okay. So I'm freely sharing that information.
Yeah. You're the one that wants everybody to know up in your business.
That's right.
But your doctor or the nurse or the somebody at the front desk can't go, hey, look who's here today.
Right.
Ryan's
yeah.
got his broke his leg.
Yeah.
You won't believe how he did it.
Yeah. And, yeah. More later on Twitter sharing updates. Right. You can't do that.
No,
right.
No.
Yes. The doctor cannot do selfies with you unconscious in the background. That's a
right.
problem.
That's
and it's
know.
Happened.
Yeah.
It's happened.
I believe it has. Everything
yeah.
has.
Well, it's like I also do a podcast called Help Me With HIPAA, and we interview people that work in the industry, and we help people with HIPAA.
Mm-hmm.
That's the name.
Yep.
And we interviewed a nurse, nerdy nurse, Brittany Wilson. It's going to come out this Friday or tomorrow. But one of her comments was, you can't share things, even if it is odd that that was in someone's body and it didn't go there. You can't share a picture of it. And you want to talk about work. So
yeah.
healthcare people can't talk about work.
Right.
You can't even go home and tell any identifiable details to someone you know at home, your spouse or your friends. You shouldn't do that. That's mm-hmm. a no-no.
So the website that comes out every year, the craziest things that were removed from various orifices, is probably not a legal thing.
No.
Though funny, for sure.
Indeed.
Well, so, yeah. I want to kind of get back a little bit here to HIPAA. And I guess part of the reason I wanted to do this show is, you know, we all, when we go to the doctor, we sign the form that says, yes, I've been informed, and no, you cannot release my information to anybody. That kind of is our understanding of it, that, okay, it's good, it protects me, but I don't know a lot else about it. But so I'd like to kind of just get a little bit of background information on HIPAA itself. But then what I really blew my mind, and I think it'll probably blow a lot of others, is, you know, we know medical practices fall under and need to be compliant. But what I was surprised to learn is that any company that works with a medical practice and has access to the patient data also falls under the need to be HIPAA compliant. And I think there's probably tons of businesses like Sean's, you know, you think law firms, you know, payment companies, accounting firms, all these businesses that probably have no idea that they're probably, you know, need to be compliant and haven't taken any steps toward that direction.
Yes, we have a lot of those clients.
I would imagine so.
Not Patient Co.
No, they're good.
They're awesome.
So I think it's even more beyond just the first layer. So there's a difference there between the covered entity, that's the doctor you go to, and then there's the business associate, that's the companies that they're going to work with. And Patient Co. is more of a frontline business associate in that we're contracting directly with the hospital or the physician group. But the business associate rules go beyond that. They're also applying to the companies that we contract directly with. So our cloud hosting vendor, the statement printer that we use, anybody that's coming in to audit our technology and our services, they have responsibilities under HIPAA, because they may come across some data that is patient specific. Say, you know, somebody is an IT company and they're, you know, managing backups for it. Well, in case, you know, their data is our data is going to end up, you know, on one of their machines, they have to be prepared to deal with that appropriately. So there really is a tail and a chain of companies that are behind many, many layers deep in order to that are responsible for HIPAA here.
Wow.
And that's where you're talking about, people don't realize it. So you're an accounting firm and you have a business associate as your client, then it's possible you could be exposed to their patient information. And if you are, then you're up.
You're mm-hmm. up.
Yeah.
Well, whose responsibility is it to inform these businesses that they, you know, okay, maybe they should take it on themselves, or there's news or various things, but who's responsible for letting them know that they are indeed do need to be thinking about HIPAA at least?
Well, it starts with the covered entity, and the covered entity is required to get an agreement with the business associate called a BAA, a business associate agreement. And so they're required to get it with that front line, the first level. And then that company is required to get the same agreement with the ones that move down the line. So each company going down the line is supposed to understand and get that agreement.
That's right. So when we're looking for a new vendor, we're going to actually vet them pretty strongly. And it's not like we're just going to randomly pick, you know, somebody that's in that space, somebody that's a hosting provider that's not really clear about what they're doing. I think the same would apply, you know, from the covered entity when they're looking to pick a partner or vendor similar to PatientCo, they're going to vet us. And we're seeing this more and more as, like, you know, Donna mentioned, 2015 was the year of the breach. It is on everybody's mind. So we see it more and more now that they're asking us, you know, what does it mean for you guys to be HIPAA compliant? How are you? What sorts of activities are you doing to make this work? And so we do the same for all of the partners that we have in our technology platform.
Yeah, you certainly have people that will say, well, our security is better than HIPAA, so you can hire us. Well, HIPAA is more than security. Mm-hmm. It's understanding the value of what you have. And the regulation of HIPAA rules is nothing like the other regulations. So PCI and all of those type regulations, they're very much a one and done kind of thing. You set up your security, you test it every now and then, you're good to go. You just have to fill that form out or something. HIPAA's not like that at all, is it, Sean?
No. it's something that, you know, we've attacked this by developing what we call the culture of compliance. It's something, it is not a one and done event. And if you're going to, go into the market and build a healthcare-based product like we have, you know what you're getting yourself into. And so the way we think about this is, you know, the first thing that our employees do when they come in is they get HIPAA training before they get access to any of our systems, before they're, seeing any data. They go through HIPAA compliance. Quarterly, we are bringing the entire company together and we're making sure that they're all able to get retrained. Donna and Carla do a great job making it engaging. I think that's like critical to the sustainability of that program. If it's, you know, really dry and boring, nobody's going to pay attention. So we make it engaging with them and it allows people to enjoy HIPAA if that's possible. The other thing that's really important with our culture of compliance is that it's engagement in the entire organization top to bottom. So our CEO is there, Bird Blitch, every single quarter doing the training. He is taking notes, he's paying attention, and it really shows to the rest of the people in the company that this is important. Our entire exec team, all of our leadership is there. And it really makes that message clear that this is something that we value. And so that way, as we go off and we build technology and we're coming up with the processes in our organization, like, it's on people's mind all the time. And that way it doesn't become this extra burden that you have to, oh wait, now we have to think about how this works in a HIPAA environment. It's just part of how we develop and think about things.
It's how you run the business, really, as part of the culture, like you're saying, as opposed to kind of trying to retrofit and back into everything.
Right.
So before getting into the weeds, without getting into the weeds too much, give us kind of the quick overview of, you know, we keep saying HIPAA compliance and such. What exactly does that mean to a company that may, you know, realize that they are a business associate and nobody let them know, or somebody that needs to be thinking about HIPAA compliance? What does that mean?
Well, I'm hoping that this is never something that somebody is surprised by. I mean, there may be some people out there, but hopefully most companies are going into this eyes wide open. You know, they know that they're moving into the healthcare field. And so maybe they did something before that was tangentially related, but it wasn't in healthcare directly. And now they're making a strategic decision to say, okay, we're going to build this product and we're going to focus on the healthcare market. So now we have to think about this.
Okay. That's the people that are building a product. It's the ancillary services people. It's the accounting firms, the collection firms, the IT companies. They're some of the worst. The hosting companies sometimes are just adamant that this doesn't apply to them, or what they're already doing is enough.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, the people, if you're going into healthcare, and we believe it or not, we have people that contact us and they're like, well, we don't think we really have to do HIPAA. We just want to do a little bit.
Yeah, there's no such thing as a little bit.
No, you're either doing it or you're not. And so what it requires is, well, number one, training top to bottom. A volunteer has to have training just like the CEO. So there's no one that is not trained on what it means, because the data you have is very important. And understanding, you can't go home and talk about these things. You can't carry this information around and not have a plan to protect it. Don't just email something and not be sure that you didn't just email 15,000 patients to somebody, because we know that happens.
Yeah.
And it just a dermatologist just did it in December. So first and foremost, there's that and the awareness program. The security requirements are very specific, but not. It's you have to do these things And it's up to you how you reach this goal. We're not going to give you a very specific technical requirement. We're going to say you need to handle encryption, but how you do that is up to you. Now, on the flip side, it says, well, you need to monitor login attempts. Well, that's very specific, but how you do it is up to you.
Yeah. You mentioned PCI earlier. I mean, I think that's one of the major differences with HIPAA compliance today, and that specifically the HIPAA security rule. Whether you pass or not, isn't, there's no grade that you can get. It's really, when the Office of Civil Rights in the Department of Health and Human Services comes and does your audit, they'll tell you then whether or not you pass. So, I mean, right now, I mean, I think that makes it a little gray. And I think that what really drives the stress factor for people that when it comes to HIPAA compliance, because there's nobody that can come in and say, hey, you're good, versus PCI or some other more industry-driven compliance. I mean, the PCI, I mean, we're a payments company, so we deal with both HIPAA and PCI, so we got to think about both.
And define PCI, just so everybody knows what that is.
Yeah, it's for credit cards. So it's really a standard that was driven from Visa, MasterCard, the major credit card companies, and they said, okay, if you want to take credit cards online, you have to follow these rules. Now, for us, on the technology side, there's thankfully overlap, so it's not like we have to, you know, do things differently if we have healthcare data here and credit card data over here. But I think that the PCI side of it, the credit card side of it, is a little bit more deterministic. It's easier to say, okay, this is what you're supposed to do, and then you go and do it, versus HIPAA. It's, we got to work and spend a lot of time thinking about, from a compliance, we work with consultants to make sure that, you know, we've done all the things that is kind of what the industry, or what is starting to develop in the industry as the standard. And so working with somebody like Cardon that's going to work with lots of other companies is going to allow us to feel more comfortable on that front.
Oh yeah, it's changing constantly. And even OCR, the enforcers, who, by the way, could come in and part of the HIPAA compliance is if you fail to do your job, they can fine you up to $1.5 million per year per violation. Yes.
Regardless of the size of your business, or it just does not matter.
They can do that. They have the power in the law.
Do they, and have they?
They do what they call settlements, which allows you to not be fined the actual fine. You're just going to pay a settlement amount to make it go away. But what they do is they ask for your financials so that they can make sure now that what you pay in your settlement is enough to get your attention, but not enough to crush you. So the larger your organization, the bigger your fine. The smaller organizations, though, I mean, a six-doctor surgery group may get fined $150,000. If you fine them $25,000, they're like, insurance will cover that, you know.
Where do these fines go to, do you know?
Well, they end up, a lot of it goes to funding the enforcement because they're so far behind. They have so much enforcement to do. They're just now resolving things from 2 or 3 years ago.
So there's a lot of businesses and organizations who are not in compliance, and they have to be investigated right now.
Any breach of PHI that occurs over...
What is PHI?
Oh, I'm sorry. Protected health information.
Yeah. Okay.
You knew that, Bonnie, right?
Yeah. Right. That was it.
Mm-hmm. Sorry. You know, the TLAs just come flying out of me between regulations and stuff. Three-letter acronyms are all over the place. So any breach of that patient information, the protected health information, which is what HIPAA is all about, if it's over 500 patients, it has to be a press release within 60 days of discovery. You have to report it to HHS, and they put it on what is known as, although HHS would rather us not call it that, the wall of shame.
Right. Now, is this for other individuals to see, hey, is my doctor on this list? Or I'm going in for some services and I want to see if this company is on that list.
But
the general public doesn't really know about it.
Yeah, you can go there and actually, if you just search HHS wall of shame, it'll come up, even though that's not what HHS calls it.
So I think as a business that's in the healthcare space, though, I mean, I think the wall of shame is really, you know, for the folks that are not doing what they're supposed to be doing. So the fines, you know, I think the Office of Civil Rights, they take into account the work that you've done to prepare for it, right? So even if it's a little bit gray in areas, if you can show them, we've spent this time on a regular basis documenting, implementing to the standard. We've come up with reasonable approaches in terms of how we're going to do this. They're not going to come and slap you with the biggest fine. So
right. Have a breach doesn't mean you're going to get nailed with a 1.5. If you're doing an effort, a reasonable and appropriate effort is what we always talk about, is are you doing something reasonable and appropriate for your environment to meet those standards? And things are going to go wrong. It's not a matter of if there's a breach, it's when and how you deal with it. So,
I think there's some really obvious things that people can do. And so you end up on the wall of shame when you don't do those. For example, every single computer in our organization is encrypted from day one. It's not possible for it to not be. And so if a laptop is stolen, we have people that take MARTA to work. If some reason, a laptop is stolen, then if we did not have them encrypted, we would be, immediately, that's a flag to say, look, they're not paying attention. They're not following even the basic parts of the standard here. And so we try and make sure we cover a lot of those things. And if for some reason, if something were more serious to happen, we're now prepared to deal with it because we can show proof of that. We're actually using a systematic approach here to prepare and to think about these problems.
Yeah. And it's not in existence to, it doesn't sound like to add unnecessary layers of work to medical offices and those that work with them. And it's not, out there to kind of make their lives more difficult. There are true reasons why these rules are in place, and outside of just even patient information.
Well, most businesses today should be following a lot of the things that HIPAA already has you do from the security standpoint. But HIPAA also has the privacy rule, which defines that thing you sign, is known as the Notice of Privacy Practices, which basically what it's telling you, that's the contract that initiates HIPAA law, by the way. That's why you have to sign it. But it says, here are the things that we can do with the information you give us without asking you for more permission. And here are all the things that if we do it, we have to ask for more permission. And you have the ability to opt out of X, Y, and Z. So it's basically saying, here's our commitment to you to take care of that. So if you read that information, and most people never do, but of course I go ask for them, can I see yours? I would like to read it.
Yes. It's like the Apple contract. You're firstborn, sure, whatever you want,
Yeah. So that notice of privacy practices is what is saying what can and cannot be done. And that's part of what's called the privacy rule. And under there is what's minimum uses and disclosures, which you think about, okay, well, when you give this information to the doctor's office is going to need to use it to treat you, because people in their office or labs or whatever they're working with, they're going to need to know this information to treat you. And they're going to need to collect payment from your insurance company. So they're going to need to do that. And they need to run their business, which is going to require that. So those are the reasons that they can do things without asking for additional authorization for disclosure. Anything outside that, whether it's a business associate, so that if somebody, one of the reasons that we worry about training is at Patient Co, we worry about training, and that's why they do it day one, is you don't want somebody that comes in and then they're able to download some information and they're not careful with it. They don't protect it the way it should be protected, or they make a mistake. Like there's cases where paper boxes are put where they shouldn't be put, or thrown away when they shouldn't have been thrown away. And those are major breaches. And it's guaranteed OCR will investigate you if you have a breach over 500 patients. So that's an investigation that's going to happen, which is why the money goes back to funding the investigations, because they just don't have the resources to handle the sheer volume of enforcement work they need to do.
Training is actually one of the things that they're big on today. And they're looking for organizations that when, 15 years ago, the original HIPAA security rule started to come out and the policies started to develop, they did their training then. They did it in 2005 and their whole organization's turned over and they haven't trained anybody. And that's how you get into those situations where somebody does. I mean, it's not intentionally malicious or anything like that. Nobody told them what the right thing to do is. And so that's what we think about in our organization. From day one, we're going to, indoctrinate them into the culture of compliance. They're going to be told what, is okay and what's not okay. And we don't want this to kind of, get in the way. We still have software to build and we're trying to, you know, create innovative products that our clients can use, that has to be our priority. But we have to do it thinking through the lens of, okay, we always have to deal with HIPAA compliance. So here are the things that are okay, and here are the things that are not okay. And then quarterly, we're gonna train, and it's not gonna, you know, take up everybody's time and overwhelm the business, but it's something that we're always thinking about.
Well, and you guys, Patient Co was born into business associate compliance with HIPAA. HIPAA came out, believe it or not, in 2003 to 2005, the whole rule was implemented. In the original version of it, it was voluntary compliance. The worst somebody could get fined was $25,000. And I equate that to the speed limit on I-16 is what? And does anybody know? Because we don't use it.
No. Yeah. 90 miles an hour, right?
I'm going to Savannah.
Yeah.
So it's the same thing when you look at the HIPAA compliance stuff. Is for years, if they weren't around it at all, the medical practices, they were like, nobody's enforcing this and it requires time and effort. I've got to create documentation because I can't just say, oh, I'm HIPAA compliant. Trust me. I have to prove it. And you have to prove that with extensive documentation of the training you've done and the policies and procedures that you have. And are you auditing things and assessing things? So it's not basic compliance efforts. So it does take time. But if you're not looking for these things, you're never going to catch it. It's not going to happen. You know, you won't know a breach has occurred. And that's why people have breaches that last years, months and years. And it's not just a thing. So with all of that in mind, you've got tons of businesses that aren't like Patient Co, where they were, you know, they grew up in HIPAA. You've got all of these with bad habits. So they never had to do it before. Nobody's ever bothered them. So they're not going to do it now. Still dealing with that.
I view the fact that our entire organization is less than 10 years old. All the software that we've written is, you know, within this decade as a strategic advantage for our business, to be honest. I can't imagine having to do this role and deal with software that was written 30 years ago before this was, you know, even a thought that anybody had. Trying to retrofit this is really, really challenging. And, you know, you're going to have gaps. You're going to have, you know, things and processes that grew up that have always worked, but they don't within the sphere of HIPAA. And so the fact that, you know, from the day, like I was saying, you know, every day, you know, the first day that an employee walks in the door, they're thinking about this. All of our software has been written through the lens of, we need to make sure this is secure and HIPAA.
Well, compliant. What are you doing over there? Patient Co. I'm sorry, Bonnie, go ahead.
No. Oh, no, that's okay. I was just wondering, so if a company has kind of listening to this, you know, of the four or five that may, and realize, oh, you know what, I think I might need to be HIPAA compliant. Where do you start? It just sounds...
Call Donna.
Yeah. Well, okay. <That's here. laughs>
We started working with Patient Co when they were tiny. I mean, it was a tiny little office, and I mean, it was before you guys even worked with them, wasn't it?
About the beginning of that.
Yeah. Yeah. So... It was the tiny little office downtown next to the Georgia Tech area, and they have exploded now. I mean, you guys have growing. They just got funding and some input of capital. And so we started really early with them, but we have programs that allow us to go in where bad habits are already in place and try to correct that. But it's an effort. So step one is you've got to get educated, because if you don't even know what you're supposed to do, you're clearly not going to do it. Mm-hmm. And to take it, and there's tons of products out there. I can't even begin to tell you how many products say HIPAA made easy. There's no such thing. There's a piece of HIPAA that could be made easier if you use a tool on the security piece, but the overall legislation itself is not something that you can make easy. It's impossible to monitor and document and train and do all of those pieces that works and make it easy. So many people, the training, it says you have to train employees on a regular basis. So if you have a training program, and this is what a lot of people do, they'll say, okay, we got to do this. Let's get people trained. So they'll go find a video training program that's 30 minutes with a little bitty quiz, and they'll sign people up for it. And okay, now we've got our HIPAA training. Okay, what are you guys thinking?
No, not enough HIPAA training.
Well, you know, I tell people, think of it this way. Everybody can relate to, I have a teenager, and I'm going to tell them in January that I'm going to tell you that you need to make the bed. I'm going to describe how you make the bed every day. And I want you to make the bed every single day. And then I'm going to talk about it again next January with you. How many times do you think that bed's going to be made?
Without some sort of $1.5 million fine going on, right. Not very that's often.
Right. The one advice I would give to business owners that are realizing now that they're HIPAA, they have compliance requirements, is that it has to be, if you're the CEO or you're in the leadership, you have to be part of that. You may have somebody in your organization that you say, okay, you're our compliance officer. But I'm the CEO. I don't really interact with patient data at all. I'm more focused on other things, sales and raising funds and other things. Well, you have to show to your organization and all of the leadership in your company needs to show that this is important. Because if it's just, hey, you guys that deal with patient data, you got to go through this training, and the rest of you, or the rest of us are going to go off and do something else, like they're not going to take it seriously. Mm-hmm. So it's got to be an entire thing. It's got to be a cultural thing.
Mm-hmm. And what are you guys doing at Patient Co to kind of stay up to date with the current HIPAA laws and the new things that are coming out every year? Where do you go to stay ahead of the cutting edge?
So we bring Donna in once a quarter. So we'll have, on that day, we'll spend an hour and a half or so doing another training session with the entire company. Then we have a compliance team that is, select 7 or 8 people in the organization that will sit down. And there we're going to, pick through, something that is on our agenda that's important that we have to get updated on. We're going to go through and we're going to adjust adjust documentation. We're going to decide, okay, what do we need to go and tackle throughout the course of the next three months and kind of break that down into smaller projects. Mm-hmm. We also end up going through a yearly audit, and that allows us to give us, kind of full spectrum visibility over what, where we are in regards to compliance.
And technology is such a huge component of that too, because it's changing. More and more of our information is going online, doctors sharing information with payment processing companies and such. And so that technology is going to change even how we're looking at HIPAA.
Patient
Co
is on the forefront of that. We are entirely cloud-based. So. Yep. Everything that, people interact with us, the online bill pay, everything that they're doing is going to be through a web browser. So yeah, I mean, that's where everything's headed. And so what you need to do as a company like ours is you have to take, this approach systematically. You have to look at it and build it into what you're doing. And you got to think about security. I mean, anybody that's in, the IT space needs to think about security and making sure that you're making the right decisions to protect your data, whether it's patient data or not, but especially if you're in this case, because you run the risk of fines and other things that could disrupt your business.
And what about for you, Donna? Where do you go to stay up to date with the latest and greatest? Are there certain blogs that you follow, or is there certain industry publications that you're dialed into on a regular basis?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I have to spend a certain amount of every day reading.
Every day.
Every day. Because, a breach comes out, a ruling comes out. FTC, which you wouldn't even think about being involved.
Federal Trade Commission.
Yeah. They just did a settlement with Henry Schein over their encryption. They said they were fraudulent in the way they were telling dentist office. The offices, how their data was being encrypted, that it wasn't an acceptable encryption under HIPAA.
Okay. Yeah. Who would have known? Not me, right?
Yeah. Right. So, I have to stay on top of all kinds of news and a data breach. If something happens at Home Depot or Target, you would think that wouldn't matter to most healthcare people, but it does, because now I know how they got in.
Mm, yes.
So we got to know how they got in. So I have to stay on top of those. And then, of course, the HIPAA guidance. Every time there's a release of a resolution, in that resolution, they're basically telling you what you did wrong, and here's what we're going to do, because they put you on a plan for 2, maybe 3 years that says, here's all the rules you're going to follow to make sure you stay compliant. Because they'll tell you, look, we can tell you today you passed an audit, but tomorrow you may not. It can happen that quickly, and that's why you have to stay on top of it. And that's why with the guys at Patient Co, the program that we developed and use when we're doing a here's how you build that culture of compliance, it's got the training for the whole staff. Then we have training for the compliance officers. And, Patient Co has a wonderful compliance officer. Kaylee's awesome. But she has to know more about HIPAA than everybody else. And we also work with the COO, Kurt, who he has to know more about HIPAA than everybody else. And they have to then manage all of the documentation. Oh, and I'm sorry, Sean. Don't forget Sean.
No, we haven't.
He does a lot of the technology stuff, so they have to know all of those pieces. Then we have their incident response team, which you have to be prepared. Part of the rule is you need to be prepared if you have a breach.
Yeah.
And there's actually a breach law, part of the law, that says here's what you need to be able to do, and you have to have a written plan and all these things to deal with a breach. And a lot of business associates will say, well, that doesn't apply to me. And my first question is, what are you going to do if you have a breach? Because as a business associate, you have a breach, it could affect hundreds of clients and hundreds of practices. In fact, that happened in Indiana with a company called MedInformatica, something like that. And they had a major breach in their data center, which affected, I think, 30 some odd different practices, or maybe even more than that. So they have to have a plan, because if you don't have a plan, what are you going to do? So we meet with the, on the quarterly training, we also have a quarterly training with the incident response team and say, okay, what if this happens? What are you going to do? Do we have that written down? Do we know how we're going to handle that?
It's the simulations that I think are critical.
Because you can fire drill.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So you can document things. You can say, okay, yeah, this is how we do it. But until you actually try and role play the scenario, you don't know exactly how it's going to work out. So I think that's a critical component of what we do and how we prepare our organization.
Yeah, everybody, when we throw something out there, you see everybody, and of course, because it's tech, and you love that, where everybody's sitting there with a laptop around the table. And the minute you bring something up, typing starts. Here's what I would do. Here's so it's a very interesting, and you learn a lot constantly. And that's how I have to stay on top of it. I read about all this stuff.
Right.
And then I do conferences like HIPAA Summit. They can do a webcast. And there's a HIPAA security thing in the fall. HIMSS is a
right.
big thing.
We're going to be out there this year, 2016. Right. We'll be there.
See you there.
Yeah, I'll be broadcasting live from the HIMSS floor with this Justin and Justin Barnes.
Justin, yeah.
Yeah, Chico will be there.
Yeah, great. Awesome. Yeah.
We're going to have a big party there then.
All right, Las Vegas, look out. Here we come. The HIPAA folks are going. So, but there's a lot of preventative measures you got to take. There's a lot of actions you need to have in place in case a violation happens. But why are you so passionate? I know you're a self-professed techno nerd, but why are you so passionate about HIPAA in particular?
Well, I've been in healthcare so long, and having worked in the offices and know what can happen and what the stress this creates for patients if something goes wrong, or they're, you know, it can be something as simple as, you know, HIPAA is not a law that you as an individual can use to sue somebody. However, there's been some recent court cases where you're allowed to use HIPAA as a standard of care. And there's a case in Connecticut where a woman goes to her OBGYN and says, this is the name of the baby's father, and I do not want you releasing any of my medical information to this person. We're in a lawsuit. I don't want it done. And made it clear. It's in the record. Everything. The doctor's office gets a summons from the father's attorney demanding her medical records. So they released them. They never, I know.
Bonnie's, I'm sorry. I just
Bonnie's head
saucers. Yes.
They released them, and it made things very, very horrible for this woman because of a lot of things that really are not necessary to be public information. But she was able to sue the doctor's office and say, you know, under HIPAA, you should have given me the opportunity to deal with that and require it required authorization from me, even though there was a summons from an attorney. And so it matters. And think of how bad that was. There are cases where I've actually gotten calls from people we know where they're in the middle of a lawsuit in a family deal. And all of a sudden, this medical information about one of the people in the lawsuit is brought up by the opposing half. And it's like, how'd you get that? Well, they find out it had to do with somebody worked at a dentist office and called up and got information under the guise of, I need to do this as my dentist wants to know about my health information. So it's not just these big breaches. The breaches, the big ones, that's going out on the dark web somewhere probably. And it's going to be used for identity theft, and that's going to create an exceptional expense and a lot of other problems. But understanding how people can be so careless upsets me, number one.
Yeah.
But mostly it's that people don't really understand. So I get really passionate and excited about explaining the importance of protecting things no matter what. I mean, I've done speaking things where I just talk about online security to a business organization. And we just talk about it. I get excited. My propeller starts spinning. I start dancing around.
Okay.
So, yes, I get passionate about it and I believe in it a great deal. And that's why we come up with things. We've done a wide variety of training courses with PatientCo. We did HIPAA trivia night, trivia day one time, and that was interesting. But needless to say, if you don't feel passionate about your job, it's hard for you to do it. And
yeah, it's something we hear time and time again here in the Business Radio X studios, whether it's from an entrepreneur or someone who's been in corporate America for many years. You've got to find that passion in life. And what about for you, Sean, the passion for you? Where does it all come from? And PatientCo, how does that all work into your life?
Yeah, so I mean, PatientCo, we're out there to build great software that changes the way healthcare providers and their patients interact on the financial. I'm sure everybody's had the experience of, they had maybe a great clinical experience with their doctor, but then when it comes to actually, you know, how you settle up and pay that, it bad technology, confusing. So our goal, we're passionate about changing the user experience, the patient user experience. And so when you're going to go into a business that is exclusively focused on healthcare, this is part of the base set of requirements. It's the foundation. And so it's just, you know, for us, we love changing and bringing new technology to market. But if you're not able to, you know, be compliant, if you're not a secure environment, one, nobody's going to buy from you. Mm-hmm. So, you know, the actual
doctor. At least they shouldn't.
They shouldn't. I mean, maybe you can get by with a couple, but anybody that is, you know, a competent healthcare organization is going to start asking questions, understand that. You know, two, we don't want to run the risk. I mean, our brand is built on delivering great technology services. So if something happens, you know, that's not the type of business we want to run. So Right. We spend a lot of time thinking about that because we want to deliver on our brand promise. And so it's, to me, it is just part of, if you want to build great products in healthcare, you have to think about HIPAA and it's got to be part of it. So you can't separate the two.
Right. Very well said, for sure. And as we begin to close the show here, we want to make sure you guys get the opportunity to share with our listeners how they can find more information about you and your service. We'll start with you, Sean.
Sure. And you can find PatientCo on the web, patientco.com, or on Twitter at PatientCo.
And they are
out at HIMSS booth 2065.
2065. All right. So sounds good. And if we can help you here at Atlanta's Most Trusted Advisors, help amplify your message or put you in contact with those hard to reach businesses, please let us know. We'd be happy to do so. And come on back in 2016 and tell us about your HIMSS experience. Some of the after party stories we'd love to hear.
We'll do.
Okay.
And for you, Donna.
Well, we're at cardincompliance.com, and you can find us there. I'm also blogging at smallproviderhipaa.com, and the podcast is helpmewithhipaa.com, and there's, of course, the Twitter and Facebook feeds for those, and even for the real Uber nerds, it's on Google Plus.
Right. And if a business out there thinks they need your services, you know, what would be some advice you may give them to, you know, push them over the fence and say, yes, you need to call Donna?
Well, unless you, we say we can go in and ask three questions in any environment and know how you are. Number one is, do you know who your privacy security officer are? Every employee should be able to answer that. So if they can't answer that, clearly your training program has an issue.
Okay.
And number two is, do you know how to identify a breach of PHI? If they don't know what PHI is, or they don't know how to identify a breach, and every single person should know, clearly you need help. And then if you pass those two, the third question is, what do you do if you do identify it? And the key with HIPAA is you all freak out together. You don't hide it. And if you're every employee to the person cannot answer those three questions, which I can assure you they can at PatientCo, that you need to call me.
Well, sounds good to me. Yep. And all the links will be posted on our website, which you can go there and get to know them better. And maybe your business out there does need some guidance from either Patient Co. Or Donna and her team there as well. So Bonnie, thank you so much for another great show. I thought we really got some good information out there about HIPAA and why it matters to individuals and companies.
Yeah, absolutely. I appreciate you guys coming and sharing this information with us. And, you know, maybe it struck a little fear in the hearts of some that didn't realize this was something they needed to think about. So at least you're giving them something to think about.
Yeah, no doubt. And we'll continue this conversation as well on Atlanta's Most Trusted Advisor. So make sure you stay tuned to Atlanta Business Radio and Business Radio X to see all the upcoming guests in the future. So thanks so much, Bonnie. Thank you so much, listeners, for supporting us. And thank you to Stone Payton and Lee Cantor. And on behalf of the entire Business Radio X network, I'm Ryan McPherson. We will see you on the radio.